Let us seek the Lord in our prayer. Loving God, our Father, we come and we realize now that we are indeed in your presence. We have presented ourselves in your presence, and now we come to hear your word, the word that brings light and life to our spirit, the word that is as bread to our souls. Grant to us the hearing ear and the understanding heart, and may the power of Christ rest upon me. In his name we pray. Amen. I do not want to distract you, but I think I'd better take this off. For many, many, many years now, this has happened. Either my gown would come off or my jacket would, and I see that my son, in that particular respect, is following my example. So here we are, and first I wish to acknowledge the kindness of the pastor and the session in inviting me to be here this morning, also not as a participant only, but as one who will, in the name of Christ, dispense these sacred elements. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of leading you, St. Paul's Church, in your worship of God. The text I bring before you is one that has already been read by Dave, taken from Luke chapter 22 and 19, words that you have heard over and over again. Every time a communion service is held, these words have to be used. Jesus said to them concerning what they were doing with him in his presence. In the upper room, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." We find also, although it wasn't read, I don't know what happened, Dave, no fault of yours, whatever, but the passage from Corinthians really is verses 24 and 25. I don't make much of this, but make much of the fact that Paul takes up the thought. And he uses these very same words that our Lord had used in the upper room. He is now by letter communicating with the Christians who were located in the city of Corinth, a city that he had already visited in one of his missionary journeys. He had companions with him. He had preached to these Corinthians the gospel that had been delivered to him by Christ. And he asks them to remember what he had already given to them, what he already taught them concerning the supper of our Lord, because they were coming to a point in their experience in that congregation where they were beginning to abuse, and that's the part you read, Dave. They were beginning to abuse this holy and sacred supper. And he is reminding them of how it ought to be done in a way that will be honoring and pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, as Christ had said, "This you are to do in remembrance of him." Twice he says it. We find this word remembrance in other parts of Scripture, and I won't take time with that this morning, but commend to you the exercise of looking up the word remembrance. If you have a Bible with a concordance at the back of it. But this remembrance, this experience, this something that we're going to talk about, and I hope we will understand it a little better, has a connection with renewal, because you will see that, yes, I have as the title of this message, Remembrance and Renewal. I have found by experience and by reading the scriptures and the history of the lives of those who have gone before us that they also have discovered this link between our remembrance and the renewal of our own lives. For it is out of our remembering Jesus that we will find ourselves renewed in faith, in courage, and in love, and in all other areas and aspects of our living, we will be revived and renewed. And I believe this was the purpose that Jesus himself had in mind when he said to them most emphatically, do this in remembrance of me. And the result of remembering him as he ought to be remembered is going to have its impact upon us. I trust that will send me out this morning, and you too, beloved, we will go out having remembered him, but being renewed by him also. And isn't that what all of our congregations, nationwide and worldwide, are in desperate need of these days, as we are faced with the world and its culture and its demands and its temptations that would undermine the work of God amongst us? We need renewal. As you may know, I still am able, thank God, to go to other churches and take supply and preach from pulpits. This one I have not preached. This is a new one, specially prepared for the people of St. Paul's. But wherever I go, I find some elders will come to me and say, you were talking about renewal this morning? Yes, not with regard to the remembrance of Christ at the table. And the person I remember distinctly saying, this is what we are in need of. We are in desperate trouble. We are in decline. I said, that's fine. I've heard it all, but speak it out to me. And he got it off his heart and mind. Beloved, let us come to the place where you and I must admit that we are in need of the power and life of God, the Holy Spirit, moving upon us and bringing us new life and new joy and all that goes with it. I have a sense now about this congregation of St. Paul's. I'm not a member, I'm a member of Presbytery. But I have a sense that that renewal has begun. And thanks be to God that we are not today what we were 5 years ago. God has come into the situation. The Holy Spirit is moving and working and touching us and lifting us and reviving us and making us the men and women that he wants us to be. A bright and a shining light in this community of the city of Peterborough. But the revival, the renewal, the rejuvenation, the inflow of the very life of God will come in many ways. But I'm sure it comes when we come to communion. Remembrance is associated with memory, and memory with thought, and thought with mind. And the purpose of our meeting this morning is principally and essentially, among other things, our purpose is to engage our minds, our thoughts, with none other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And he is in our midst today, not as the one who died only, but as the one who ever liveth. He said, "Behold, I am alive forevermore. I have tasted death. I have passed through it all for you, and now I live for you." And he is the living Christ that we will celebrate and remember most particularly at Easter time. We are here, to put it very simply and plainly, we are here to meet with that living Christ today. "Hear, O my Lord," we will sing shortly in our hymn. "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I taste and touch and handle things that are unseen." Yes, we will taste and take the bread and the wine, but these are the externals. These are the material things, and they are useful to us in that they are signs and symbols of his shed blood and broken body, of his sacrifice by which he took our sins upon himself. Yes, this is more than a ceremonial. This is more than a superficial ritual. This is a deep thing. This is a thing of God and our own soul. That is outward, but remembering Jesus is an inward thing. I have a word here I want to mention. I bring it down to this. There's nothing more personal in our Christian faith than Jesus, the person, and you, a person. It is a person-to-person thing, and it takes place within the mind and the spirit. That place and part of us, invisible and intangible and indefinable, it is the image of God. We were made in his image, mind and spirit, and it's there through this that we meet with Jesus. There's much more I have prepared for you, but I shall leave it at that and ask you to think as to how do we respond to all that? How do I take all this as a person, William Baird? Do I have anything to say in answering the love of God? Yes, I have. I will say, "Thank you, Lord." And I'll go beyond that and trust that you will go too, and you will come to the place, the rightful place for any Christian to come to today. And that is the place of giving ourselves to the one who gave his all for us. "Take my will and make it mine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take myself, and I will be ever only all, all for thee. Remembrance leads to the renewal of our lives. Thanks be to God. And may his blessing attend the preaching of his word, and to his name be all glory forever. Amen.